Blog Talk Radio.
Kora babababa shandan. Metonaye hiyo. Somebody get rid of Aina. Get rid of Aina. It is not about no man. It is about him. Kora babababa. Just worship him. Just worship him. Forget about everything and just give him all that he deserves.
somebody right now. Every knee bow, bow. Every tongue down confess that Jesus Christ, you are God. You are God. Everybody, lift up your hands right now, your voice right now. Every knee.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank you all for tuning in right now to the Angels of Melody, Angel on Deck International show on today. We just thank God for his many blessings. I'm telling you, that was a powerful song of our dear brother, Levi Fletcher Knott. I'm telling you, that is great. Y'all heard it on yesterday. We played it again today. And I want to say God bless you. Pastor Levi, we thank God for your life. We thank God. He's originally from Ghana, but resides here in the States. And we just thank God for him and his lovely wife and his princess, his daughter. We thank God for the family. And I just want to let you know, Levi, once again, that you are a blessing to the nations. And we just thank God for your ministry and for your worship music. It's really a blessing. And also I want to just say God bless to everybody that is listening in right now all over the world. We want to give a shout out to Kudos there in South Africa. God bless you to Bedford there in Uganda. We want to say God bless to all of Africa today. God bless you, those in Nigeria and Ghana, those that are in Cameroon and Liberia, Ethiopia, those that's in Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Togo, Uganda, Kenya. God bless everybody in all of Africa. Also, we thank God for everyone here in the United States. God bless you in every city and state. We want to give a shout-out to Christina Scott. God bless you. We just thank God for all of you that are listening in to G-Love. God bless you. I'm telling you, we have a great, powerful program on today. This is something that I have been waiting on for the longest. I'm telling you, I saw it coming, and I just didn't know when. But I know I had said I would love to have my cousin on when she gets home. A lot of you know that I have shared testimony on the radio. Many times I have had ministers have called in from different parts of Africa and here in the States as well, and they have said prayers for the family. I told you all that I had a cousin that was in Ghana, and I'm telling you, it's just a powerful testimony. I'm not going to get in it. I'm going to let her say it. But it's a powerful, seriously, testimony. And who would have thought that today, you know what I'm saying, that in this year that she would be on the radio with me. And I think I said it a few months back that I was looking forward to having her on with me. So I just thank God for my dear cousin. I want to give a shout out to my Auntie Mary and my cousin and all of them there in the home. I don't know if they're listening in live or if we're on speaker or whatever, but I just want to say God bless to everybody. I love you very much. I'm glad to be found. You know what I'm saying? So I thank God for my dear cousin, Prophetess Toni Warren, also known as Miss Holy Ghost Fire there in Ghana. So I'll tell you, when you hear her, you're going to say, wait a minute. I know that ain't your cousin because she sound African. Well, hey, she is. I'm telling you, and yes, she sound African. I said, well, if I was there, I guess in Ghana, the time that she was in there, I probably would be sounding like, you know, Ghanaian too, African too. Y'all know I can sing in some of the language, so hey. Well, we thank God for her life. I want to say before I click her on, I want her to hear this because when I get to talking again, I'm not going to talk anymore. She's going to be the next voice that you're going to hear. But I want to say this, I'm trying not to get too emotional, but sometimes when I think about it, it makes me emotional because God has a set plan. And I'm going to tell you before, you know, we all have fell short and we've all, you know, have done things and others have done maybe more. But I thank God for his mercy and his grace. And I want to say before her time in the prison, I want to give Action All Stars a shout out as well. Prince, God bless you. Before this even happened with her in Ghana, like I said, she would share that part herself. I got to share this because it's a big scenario of how God's plan even for her life, you know, before all of this happened in Africa. But I was not a Christian at one point. We all had a point where we weren't, and I was drinking and smoking and just, you know, out there. You know what I'm saying? I love the Lord, but at that time, I did not want to serve him. I've always heard prophecies come from grandma, you know, saying that God is going to save her no matter, you know, this is what my grandmother would say to my dad and them. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God is going to save her. She's going to the nations. She's going to have this great ministry. And I would look at Grandma and I would laugh like, yeah, sure. You know, if that's what you say, you know. But to make a long story short, what I'm trying to hint at, I believe that, you know, with my cousin here, at the time, she did not know really what the plan of God was even for her life, as well as mine. But God used her. I have to say this because I told my Auntie Mary this many times. I said, when she comes from this Africa, God is going to use, she's going to be a woman of fire. Seriously, I didn't know nothing about her name being Miss Holy Ghost Fire, but I was talking about how powerful she was going to be. There's something behind this God is going to do. And I just want to say I thank you so much, Cousin Tony, because when I was in my sins, I wasn't studying about God's plan for my life. I wasn't studying about ministry, even though I knew God was calling. But I kept running and running. And my cousin came over here one day with this book. It's a prayer book that she gave me. I did not know the plan of my life at that time. But my cousin saw what God saw. And I hold this book in my hand right now. I still got it from years ago. I couldn't find it when she came and saw me on last week. But she gave me a book that is by Dr. D.K. Alukoya. I think I'm saying the name right. And it says, Power Against Dream Criminals. And in this book, it's Deliverance Manual for Addressing Battles and all kind of things in the nighttime as well as the daytime, and it gives you how to pray in the prayer point. Didn't know that God was bringing me into such a ministry. She gave me this book, and I'll never forget, I had a cup of liquor in my hand then, and I'm drinking, and she hands me this book. She said, Cousin, you gonna need this. And I looked at it, and I read a little bit of it, and it was too powerful for me. At that time, I wasn't stagnant. But I don't know why she gave me this. I did not know why she gave me this book. I put it up, y'all. I put it up underneath the stereo. And it sat and collected dust for years. It collected dust. But when God saved me, my God, when he had that stop sign, and that call came up on my life, I'll never forget. When God set me up, and I'm going to put her on, but I wanted to say this to give an introduction on how God used it in. And even though things happened in her life, but she came from out of that. And she is a powerful woman today. And I'm telling you, she gave me this book and I put it up. But when God saved me, oh my God, I went to my brother's church. And this prophetess prophesied to me. And she said that God has a powerful ministry. The same thing my grandmother was saying. God got this and God got that. And you're going to be a woman of prayer. And she said, and the devil not going to like it. And he's going to try to come against you in many, many ways. And it might be times that you may get weak. And she had it all on tape, and I still have that tape the day she recorded this. She said, but you're going to be a woman of prayer. God is going to train you. That's what she said. And you are going to be one of the generals in the warfare field. That's what she told me. And I thought, oh, this is too much. I can't. Oh, no, this is what I'm thinking. But when I got home after that service, God brought back my cousin Tony when she gave me that book in my hand and said, you're going to need this. And I picked that book up from under that shelf, that stereo. God led me to where that book was at. I didn't know, but he led me back where this book was at. And when I looked at it, it was full of dust. And I brushed that dust off. And I began to look at this book. And my God, when I looked at this book, And I began to take time out and I began to read it. And as I read it, God began to deal with me in the Word. He began to teach me. I was like in training in a school doing homework. I had notebooks full of scriptures. I got them today. Full of scriptures. Full of the Word. And as I was reading and writing it, that Word and them scriptures, them prayers started coming. God birthed that thing in me through this book. He birthed prayer in this book, I'm telling you. And I thank my cousin. Hallelujah. I thank my cousin Tony for letting God use her that time. I don't even think she even knew the purpose of giving me this. But I hold this book to my heart right now. I just got it out of my room. And I thank God for my cousin Tony. I thank God. Even when she went through what she went through, I stayed praying for her. And I said, God, be there with my cousin. Because it was her that gave me this book. And I am who I am today, not only through grandma's prayers, not only through the grace and the mercy of God and the prayers of the righteous, but I thank God I am also who I am today, knowing about prayer through my cousin giving me this book. I didn't mean to break down like that, but I just thank God. It's not a breakdown of tears of sorrow, but it's tears of joy because God set it up. And when she went through what she was going through, I was praying, and I had men and women of God calling in on radio praying, and they prophesied and said, she will not be there, as what they say. I'm going to let her tell it. I don't want to tell it. But I'm going to go ahead and click her on right now. She's on the line with us, and I want you to open up your hearts and receive her in this powerful testimony. And after she shares this testimony, we got an hour and 32 minutes. That's plenty enough time. We got, she's going to share a powerful testimony of her in Africa. And then after she will share about her testimony there, what God, what happened in her life, the cause of there and the outcome of it. And up until now, what God is doing in her life now, I'm telling you, is very powerful. And after she shares that with you, she's going to go into prayer. And she's going to talk about prayer. And I'm telling you, I thank God for my cousin, Prophetess. I thank God for Prophetess Toni Warren, also known as Miss Holy Ghost Fire. And believe me, she is. I thank God. So we're going to click her on right now. God bless you, cousin. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, dear?
I know you heard me. I know you heard me going at it, and telling you, I had to share that before you came on because I wanted the world to know how even this prayer. Because people always ask me, "How do you pray like that?" and this and that, and you know. And I said, "Well, you know, God birthed this in me, and I've always shared this book, cousin. I was looking for it when you was over here." But I couldn't find it right off, but I got it in my hand.
And the next time, I'll show you this book.
But I'm telling you, I thank God for your life. I thank God for, you know, that day that you even was over here. And, you know, you gave me this book. And I just want to say you are a blessing to me as well as I know to the nations because they're going to hear this testimony. And I know they're going to be blessed. So I'm going to go ahead and be quiet, and I'm going to let you reintroduce yourself and just, you know, just share your testimony and, you know, however God gives you to do it.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Toni Warren, and I'm coming to give this testimony. Hopefully that it will save somebody's life.
Yeah.
I grew up with a single parent, and I always had the desire to know my father, but I grew up as a single parent home. I was a rebellious child, and I started to live the life of crime. I started very early. At first, I started I started using drugs at the age of 12, started smoking weed, hanging out, doing, you know, whatever, you know. Started dating older men at an early age. And, you know, I had a desire to be loved, but at that time I didn't know that God loved me. I was seeking love from somewhere else. And during that time, I became deeper involved in drug use and gang banging and just all the things that God wouldn't approve of. Then I became a mother at the age of 14, a mother of two kids. And at that time, I didn't even know how to be a mother because I grew up with a single mother who didn't know how to even teach me to be a mother because she didn't know how to be a mother. And I became more involved in drugs and living a life of crime and rebellious and, you know, eventually I wind up in a prison. But let me go, before I get to that one, you see, the Lord had a purpose for my life at that time, and I didn't understand it. And
yeah.
At that time, God was calling me. Some people would come and tell me that God has a calling for all my life. I always believed in the Lord, but I wasn't ready to give my life to the Lord. Matter of fact, I didn't even know how to give my life to the Lord. My grandmother was someone who did all she could to keep us in church, but you know we didn't want that. And as time went on, as this calling became more intense, you see, when the Lord is calling you, you will go through more trials and tribulations because you're not answering. So he will bring more things into your life. He will bring more problems. You don't understand why you're having these problems. Sometimes, you know, it's because the Lord has a calling, a purpose for your life. And that's what was going on with me at that time. At that time, I didn't really have that deep understanding. And in every family, God has put a head there. And at that time, when my grandmother died, I didn't understand. See, my grandmother was the one who kept my family together because my grandmother was the one who prayed all the time. And when she died in 2001, soon as she died, soon that great problem started happening in my own family. But see, at this time, God was preparing me to take her place, but I didn't have that understanding at that time. Then I was arrested in Ghana in 2002. And at that time, I had surgery. I had a stent put in my kidneys. And when this stent was put in my kidneys, I still wanted to travel. So I asked my doctor, is it okay for me to still travel? I will only be gone 10 days. He said, yeah, it's okay. So I left planning on going to be going only 10 days. When it was time for me to come back to the U.S., I was arrested at the airport. And during that time, all I was thinking about was this stent in my kidneys. And everybody knows that at that time, the technology wasn't high, yet they would keep you in remand for 4 or 5 years before you can even be sentenced or go to court or whatever it is the process is. You will be in remand for a long time. And at that time, you know, I was married, and my husband told me that if I don't find a way out of there, I would die there because they don't have the technology to remove the stent from my kidneys. So then I had a dream. And in this dream, I dreamed that I was in a bad situation. That bad situation showed me that it's like I dreamed that I was in a bed with a man. And my husband knocked on the door. And the way he looked, he gave me a key. And there was a brand new car sitting inside the living room of the house. And when he gave me the key, that was my way out. So when I woke up, I knew that I had to try to escape from this place. I knew that I had to try to escape in order to live, because if I didn't, I would have died there. So I planned for a few days, and eventually I escaped. And when I escaped from the police cells there, and when I escaped from the police cells, that was a tragic thing, because at that time I didn't know anywhere. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know. All I knew was that I was scared, and I wanted to go back home so I could remove this thing out of me. And it took me over a year and a half before I made it back home. This stent stayed in me. But by the time I made it back home, so much poison had built up in my bloodstream, and this stent tissues have even grown around it. But still, I almost died. But the Lord saved me, because he had a purpose for my life. You know, and at this time, I was getting a little bit more understanding of things. I started really surrendering. So as time went on, I made it back to the States. All of a sudden, my government sent me back there. After I had my surgery, and they removed the stent from me, they returned me back. You know, they returned me back to Ghana. I faced charges there for a couple of years, and eventually I was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And me being a typical African American, you know, the culture, everything was so much different, but I have already grasped on to the Lord. You know, but I really didn't have a deep understanding of his calling. You know, all I knew is that he was all I had to depend upon in order to survive. And when I went there, they took me to a slave port that was 365 years old. And because, you know, African American, you know, that's a part of our history. You know, as I'm there and I'm sitting and I will be looking at this door of no return, that means that this is where they would bring the slaves through, and, you know, they would take them to the ship. So I was going through some deep emotional hang-ups then, because all kind of things was going to my head. It's like, but why did the Lord allow me to come to an old slave port? You know, I was trying to get an understanding of what a slave port. They had the original chains, and they were even still chaining people there, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Africans didn't really understand what I was feeling, because, you know, I always know that, okay, I don't know exactly which part of Africa I come from, but I know that this is my ancestral land. So eventually I went through some deep emotional things there. And not on top of that, I had a little bit of understanding of spiritual things, not much. But when I was there, it's like, if I didn't learn to grab hold to God and learn how to pray, these people would kill me here, because the dreams and everything that I was having, things that I'm seeing, it wasn't normal for me. And I knew that there was something to it. And, you know, let me remind you. This is how the Lord could also work. When I was in the police cells, there was a man who came to visit me. I don't know this man. I've never seen this man before. But this man came and he introduced himself to me. And he told me that he was from the forest. And I said, the forest? What is he doing living in a forest? He said he was living in a forest. He said he just come to deliver me a message. And the message was that I will be okay. He told me that I was a chosen one. And when he said that, you know, because I'm so scared, I had just been extradited back to Ghana, and I'm saying, chosen one, chosen for what? He told me that he don't know, but he just know that I will be okay, and I will go home. So he gives me his number. I had a piece of paper where I wrote everybody's number on the same piece of paper. I thought about these things when this man left. So the next day, I wanted to call him, ask him more questions, because I wanted to know more. But when I got ready to see about trying to call him, the number had disappeared off of the paper. None of his contact remained on the paper that I wrote it on. All disappeared. So from there, I took it as God sent an angel to me. Something to let me know the reason why I was brought back to Ghana. And see, it was destined for me to go there. It was destined for me to go to prison there. I went to the Nansouan prison, the biggest female prison there in Ghana. And when this thing was revealed to me, I didn't have the fear. I didn't have any more fear. I didn't fear anymore because I knew that God had a purpose for me. I just had to find out what was that purpose. Then I started to listen. I started to answer because no one was there for me. My family has never traveled outside of the country before. I'm the first one who's ever traveled. And they wasn't about to come all the way to Africa. They were scared themselves. So as I continued, I know that I need to pray to find out more things that what exactly is it that the Lord wants with me. This is what I needed to find out. And I didn't know how to pray that well. So when they were taking me to court, I would have what these CID officers, I would have them to take me to a bookstore and I would just buy all kind of prayer books and I would study these prayer books and I started seeing that, okay, the devil don't like fire. So as I was studying, not only as I started to pray, the more I started to pray, the more things started to be revealed to me and the more attacks I got. You know, I received so many more, much more attacks. So I started to see that the place where I was at, it wasn't good. And it was a place that they had idols there. They had a female idol there where we bathed at. And they had a male idol in the men's yard, in the men's side. And every year, the God people would come there and make their homage to their gods. So I didn't have too much understanding. So at that time, I started to get a little bit more understanding of everything that was going on because I see that the Lord put me in a place of spirits, not only just spirits of demons, of witchcraft, of so many different things that I started to experience. And all I knew is that God had my back. That's all I knew. I didn't fear. The spirit of fear never was there, you know, because I was determined to make it home alive. I was sentenced to 10 years. At first, I thought I was going to come home. I didn't even believe that I was going to be sentenced. But I also saw that there was a battle, a spiritual battle. They were trying to keep me. You understand? And I saw the battle. I saw it. But I wasn't too strong enough. I wasn't strong enough at that time. And I was sentenced 10 years. And when I was sentenced, I didn't understand that I wanted to cry, but I couldn't cry. And I didn't find it normal. I'm like, after being sentenced 10 years, I still can't cry. I couldn't cry.
Wow.
I wanted to cry. And when they took me back to the remand place for me to go to prison, I was sitting there and I'm looking at people and I'm telling them I want to cry, but the thing, it won't come. I won't cry. It's because God didn't want me to cry. I didn't fear. He took me there for a purpose when I was taken there. And I walked in those gates. And when I walked in those gates, I had to bend down. But my expectations of the place, God had already started to reveal things to me. So when I walk there, I have already put in my spirit that, me, I'm going to be strong with the Lord because I know that God is walking with me. Mm-hmm. And I went in there, and many things I started to see that this place is not a normal place. It was a graveyard. And you would see different things, things in the night if you don't know how to pray. So me, for all those years, I stayed up in prayer. I knew that the devil started operating at 12 o'clock. And from 12 to 4 o'clock, sometimes 5 in the morning, I would stay up in prayer. I didn't sleep. I did that 7 days a week for 9 years. I stayed up and I continued to pray, you know, and the Lord continued to reveal and the Lord continued to strengthen me. Then the Lord continued to reveal to me who I was and why I was being attacked, why I was going through what I was going through. See, the Lord was preparing me for the battles that I was going to face. You see, my grandmother had died, and when my grandmother had died, now it was my turn to become the head of the family. But, you know, a lot of black people, what we don't understand is that we have so many things from our ancestors that's disturbing us, that's disturbing our children, that's disturbing our destinies. And the battle comes from our ancestors. So these type of things were starting also to be revealed to me. See, it was the prayers of my grandmother that suppressed it, so many things that the devil wanted to do within my family from my ancestral background. And at that time, I was starting to get a more deep understanding. And see, what we really don't understand is that, you know, there's all in the black person's family. Now, whether we are African Americans, whether you are an African, as long as you are black, there are altars that are set up in our lives from our ancestors that is crying against and the blood that has been shed upon these altars is speaking against the destiny of our children. And we, as Christians, have to stand up and destroy those altars because, you see, if we don't destroy the altars, how can we ourselves, we can't even stand? How can the foundations of the righteous stand if our foundation is not of God? Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. So as I began to get a little bit more understanding, the more understanding I got, the more attacks I got. You know, at that time, I did a lot of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting was necessary for me. A lot of times I did, every week I did 3 days dry, no water, no food. Every 3 days a week, 3 days a week, I did that. And sometimes I would go into 100-day fastings, 40-day fastings, because the battle was too strong for me. I'm a typical African-American, don't know anything about this, too many spiritual things, and the devil would be trying to set traps. He will set traps for you that because of our ignorance, we can walk into those traps. So that's why it's very important to learn how to pray. Prayer is not just prayer. Prayer needs direction. Prayer needs, you have to understand what it is that you are going through, what it is that your family is going through, and you have to learn how to stand on that. Okay, for an example, if you know that, you see one thing the Lord does, anything that's going to happen in your life, he reveals it to you first, whether it's bad, whether it's good. That's why it is very important to interpret your dreams. You know the time I gave you that book?
Yeah.
And you know what made me give you that book? It was you had a calling on your life, and the book is a dream book. It interprets dreams. Isn't that correct? So you know, when the dream that you had of the open heavens at that time lets me know that it was God was it was a calling on your life. And you know, during the same time when I was in prison, I had that same dream that you had.
Wow.
And I remember you telling me about that dream, and I remember I interpreted that dream. And when I went to prison, I also had the same dream. So I also understood that I had a calling on my life.
Yeah.
So I began to do a lot of soul searching and trying to understand deeper things. You see, we here in America, especially us African Americans, we have so many things that is going on, and curses, actually. Curses that are from our ancestors that are still speaking. Sickness and disease, poverty, drug use, all of these things come, there are curses that have risen up from our ancestors and to our lives. And we don't have deep understanding of the reason why these things are happening in our lives, because we are basically, we are spiritually bankrupt.
Mm.
And, you know, one thing about Africa, and one thing I learned about them, they know the word of God. They know it. They understand the word of God. And I've never seen people that know the word of God like this. I didn't understand, because where I grew up, you don't hear no one talking to you about the word of God, you know? So God placed me there for them to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, as I was there, that was my power. You know, I started seeing that it was power in prayer. And I also started learning the weapons of our warfare. That's why the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to pulling down the strongholds and casting down arguments or anything exalted against the knowledge of God. You see, when I see that, sometimes you don't understand when that person attacks you. You look at the person on a physical level attacking you, but you can never look at the person on the physical level. You have to look at the spirit in the person that is attacking you. And see, that's how
that's right.
I looked at everything. I begin to look at everything on a spiritual level. I begin to look at every word on a spiritual level. If you speak this word to me, I look at it in the spirit. If you say disappointment, disappointment, spirit of disappointment. It's active. It works in people's lives. It is a curse. That spirit that they use, you wonder what you'll be expecting great things to happen in your life. And sometimes, as you may be expecting some money, you wonder, all of a sudden, you don't get this money. Or you're expecting something, and all of a sudden, you don't get it. And it constantly happens. Then that lets you know that spirit of disappointment is operating in your life. You have to go up and warfare prayer and start to pray with fire. Consume that spirit that is operating in your life. You see, it comes along with directing your prayer to wherever your problem is. God reveals to redeem. It is true.
Okay.
Some of these things don't have to be in our lives if we take the shield of faith, if we believe, use the weapons of our warfare that he gives us. Huh? If we apply some of these things, apply the blood of Jesus, he give us, it is a weapon, huh? Holy Ghost fire. That's something the devil hates. They hated it so much in prison. Sometimes when I call Holy Ghost fire, they would just call me to the office and say, please, don't call Holy Ghost fire again. It's not good. You know? So when they would do these type of things and they would say these things to me, I knew that, okay, the devil don't like this. So anything that the devil didn't like, I did. Even if I didn't understand it, all I know is that the devil don't like it. And if God reveals to you this devil here, or something is ruining your life, and you're doing things that he don't like, but maybe you don't understand what you are doing, but you know he don't like it, then you continue. you know? So
that's right.
I really did a lot of soul searching, and that ultimately takes back to our ancestors and to Africa. It's only that then we can discover ourselves. We can discover who we are. See, we know. See, how can you know where you are going if you don't know where you are coming from? If you don't have an understanding where you are coming from? See, when the Lord says that He will make you the head and not the tail, that's what He meant. You see, His word can never come back in vain. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. You have to hold the word of God, His promises. You have to hold on to His promises. And not hold on to His promises and be doing evil. Because, see, that's a lot of times, that's what we do as human beings. We would do wickedness. And we would still be claiming the promises of God when we didn't even earn it. And we don't want to earn it. We don't want to surrender all. And see, this is the thing I started to understand with a lot of people, or even a lot of Christians, you know, they want you to surrender some things, but they don't want to surrender all. And that thing places a hindrance on your blessings, or what the Lord had called you into this world to be. It hinders you. It places delays, into your life. And, you know, I thank God for my experience. I really do. I thank God because the way I have grown and who I am today, I know that if I had stayed here in my country, I would have never have gotten it. I would have never gotten it. And what I have gotten, it will save my generations to come. You know, the Lord had put something in my tongue. That's why He said the power of the tongue. We have life and death is in our tongue. You know, and what He has given me, you know, I know that I can stand up to the Lord, claim these promises that He has promised, and break all the curses and all the things, all this and things that is crying against my family, and prepare my generations to come. You know, these are the things that I have been called out of darkness and to His marvelous light to do.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to do it. I'm happy. I love Africa. You know, they have taught me so much, and I also see a lot of problems that's in Africa, especially when it comes to Christianity. And the thing was, the Lord started revealing some things to me when I was in the prison, because every day we had church. And when we have church, not all the pastors are pastors. Not all the men and women of God are truly men and women of God. And see, thing that in Africa they like miracles. They like for you to perform. If you can perform a miracle and wave your hand and knock a few people down, hey, they say you are powerful. But what the thing is, some of the pastors are confusing the people. Because, see, the people... Mm-hmm. They know that they are in bondage, and they need help, and they're seeking help from some of these so-called men and women of God that is using the wrong spirit. They are not using the spirit of God. And see, I'm going to tell you another thing about what I got from there. They mix their tradition with Christianity. You know, one part of the service is the word of God. The man can give you the word of God so great, you'll take it in your spirit, you'll be praising the Lord. Then the next minute, here comes another thing. Then you'll stop if you have the Holy Ghost. Another spirit, when any other spirit comes in, you will know. And see, after the word of God be ministered, they will always come in with another spirit, and that thing will make me angry. You know? That thing will make me angry. So, what the help that, you know, what I see there is that because everybody is looking for help. You see, mm-hmm. God has already, he has you. It's only you. I used to preach in a couple few churches there in Ghana, and I always tell the people that you yourself have the power. It's not necessary for you to keep going from one church to another looking for a miracle. God has given you that miracle. You have the
That's
power
right.
to do it. Sometimes,
That's right.
you know, I would go to some of these churches and I would see them still in people's glory. You know, and the people, they are trusting. They're trusting this man of God to help them, but some of them are doing bad things. They're covering it, and sometimes I'll even ask them, okay, they said receive the glory. If you receive the glory, do your situation change or do it get worse? Most of them always say the situation get worse. Ah, because God has given you the power. He has given you that power to stand. He has given you that power to stand and pray. You know, hello?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, you have the power. Sometimes, you know, we tend to think that men and women of God have more a better relationship than they do. But if the Spirit of God is in you, you
that's
also
right.
have that relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a personal relationship with God. You have a personal, once the word of God is in you, and you know how to apply the word of God in your situation, you yourself, you have the power, and you yourself know the spirit that is being used. So a lot of times, you don't know the spirit that is in the person. You just trust and believe it because you see him perform a few miracles. And, you know, a lot of times some of the churches, they are business, you know, because everybody's looking for help. But most of the times that help places us further into bondage because some of those things that we are looking from help, maybe the man or woman of God himself is not out of bondage. Maybe his own foundation is still faulty. And if his own foundation is still faulty, how can he deliver you? Some of us will never get married. And, you know, in African culture, marriage is very important to them. It's not like it is. We don't too much care about marriage like that. But in African culture, it's very, very vital that you get married. But sometimes there are authors that are speaking against marriage. Nobody in a family will marry. And you will go to all these different places looking for help. But it's up to you to break that thing. Most of the times we don't get married. And when there is a problem and you see that, okay, nobody in my family is getting married, you know that it's a curse someplace, you know. And you know that when it comes to marriage, when it comes to any sexual behaviors and things, we know it all comes from the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, or you have spiritual husband. You know, you can never stay in a relationship. You know? But it's not all the time that you will go to a man of God seeking help because, see, the man of God, he will pray for you. But when he prays for you, he's going to receive an attack. And so you yourself have to stand up and pray and fast, huh? And sacrifice, and break that spiritual marriage or whatever the curse is coming from that's blocking you from your marriage.
That's true.
See, one of the things that I saw and I learned, which is vital to me, because all these things I learned in Africa is vital to my own, and because of the cultural difference. But a lot of people, they don't like to face truth, you know. You know, the spirit of truth, it has become an enemy to the church. Because once you start speaking the truth, a lot of people, they don't want to accept it. And, you know, it holds you in a bondage, you know, because of you don't want to accept. Instead of you know something is true, but instead you call it an insult. And it's not an insult if you know in your heart, your spirit, that this is true. But and the thing is, it has become an insult. And what we need to do as men and women of God is learn to accept the truth, strengthen ourselves in faith, because it's impossible to please God without faith.
That's true.
You know, and worship one God. Because one of the main things I saw there, they worship two gods. They don't have enough, some of them, they really don't have enough faith in God. You see, God doesn't move fast or do things the way they want God to do, because, you know, God's time is the best time, but sometimes we don't want to wait on that. So because we don't want to wait on that, you go to these juju places, fetish priests, and you go into the devil. And because the devil will invoke the name of God, you
mm-hmm.
think that you're doing a right thing. And it,
mm-hmm.
puts, and it puts you closer, more in bondage. You
That's
know?
Right.
Yeah, and me being an African-American, I find myself doing things like that. You see, when I escaped from prison, from these police cells, you know, I was so scared, and I went to some different places looking for help because I was ignorant, and I thought that these places that I was going to was power of God. When before I know it put me more in a bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
I became more in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself, I went to the sea. You see, this is things that you do out of ignorance. And you know, they will tell you to go and you speak into a padlock and you go throw things in the sea. And all these things put you in a bondage with the devil, because the devil don't do anything for nothing. Anything that you do when you go into these fetish priests looking for some help from the devil, you know, I thought that it was God, because they will always say God this, God that, and I'm just looking for help. I didn't know that I had that power in me. I didn't know that the power in me was of God. All I had to do was lift my voice up and pray. You see?
Yeah.
I didn't have that understanding. You know, and a lot of times people, they know that they are going to the devil. You see, maybe you can be asking for something, but did God take his time and do it, because he knows the right time? But you go to the devil, he'll do it for you fast. Huh? He'll tell you to bring him a goat, bring him something. He needs blood.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right.
He needs blood. And you know, you're willing to go and do whatever it is that it takes for this thing to manifest. You see, what they don't understand is what I saw is that the devil manipulates. What he do? He goes into the witches in your families and he make agreements. And maybe this problem will go away temporarily, but maybe it will come back 5 years from now. And you think that, oh, this religious priest, he has helped me. And he hasn't helped you. He has just went to the witches in your family and made an agreement. That's the way they operate. You understand? So to me, people, they put their father in bondage. You know, they believe they're looking for help. You know, they want to serve God. You know, it's always a witch's family member that wants to block your prosperity.
That's right.
You know, he says that, even the Bible says it. You know, you think that the enemy is outside, but the enemy is within your family. It's always one in your family. So, you know, sometimes, and it's not just there, it's here too. It's here in America.
Yes, it is.
Only thing
I
is,
know that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Only thing is, we don't know spiritual things. So we will see the devil like that with our physical eyes, because they do everything physical. But there, they don't do it physical. They do it spiritually. And you'll think, you won't know that they are working against you. You understand?
That's right.
You know, you think sometimes it's almost too late before you realize, because sometimes you don't want to accept it. You know, maybe they show you an auntie that you love so much, and somebody says, but you don't want to believe that it's that auntie. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to believe that, and that auntie will continue to work against you before you really see it and understand it and realize they have almost destroyed you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I became a spiritual person. At first, I was a physical person. I like my guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even now I still have a little character defect. When I go outside, sometimes I still say, "Hey, I feel naked," but then I have to remember, but God got my back. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, because of the lifestyle that I lived. You know, I lived a lifestyle as I was like thuggish. You know, it's about what I see. I demanded my respect. I gave my respect, but I demanded it. You know, it's about material things, but I was spiritually bankrupt. You know, and now my understanding is, anything you can control your life through the realm of the spirit. Because before anything happens in your life, it happens spiritual first. Even a new creation, anything your word, your mouth can create. You see, the words that you speak in your mouth, they can create things. You know,
yeah.
We have the power to create. You know, that's why you declare and you decree into your life. You know,
mm-hmm.
When God shows you something that is not correct, you declare and you decree and you rebuke those things out of your life. So I live my life in the spiritual realm. I don't live my life about what I see. Because, see, when God showed me things and that the devil was doing in my life, I stand. I sacrifice that day and pray and fast to make sure that this thing do not come to pass. You see? So the Lord has given us power. You know? He's given us power and the choices we make. You see, the devil is out to destroy destinies. I saw in the prison, when I was in prison, these are the type of things that I've seen. I saw, the place is like a witchcraft camp, you know? And the witches, they will be coming at you, and it's like you are Daniel in a lion's den, you know? And they are coming at you from different angles. Huh? Not coming at you physically, coming at you spiritually. They see your blessing here. They want to destroy this. They see money getting ready to come your way. They want to destroy this. They see your glory. They want to take your glory. They see anything good in your life. They want to change. You understand? They want to take. So I the way I live my life today is I don't live by physical things. I live everything, and I take everything spiritually, and I like it that way. I'm blessed. I think I'm a blessed American, you know. And my blessing was through the prison. You know, the devil meant it for my bad. The devil, when he put me there, I call myself going to these juju people and fetish priests and I went to Mommy Walter, you name it, I went there. But God's hand was upon me, because when you go to these places, they put you in covenant. Before you know, you are trapped in a covenant with the devil. And you don't understand, how did you get in this covenant with the devil? Because when you're seeking for help from the wrong places, it creates more covenants. But God saved me. He kept his hand on me, because, you know, you can't have a covenant with the devil and have a covenant with God at the same time. You know, he will counsel those things. The Lord will counsel every evil covenant. And I found myself, you know, going that way. I found myself trapped. You know, I remember when these people told me one time to go to the sea. And because I'm telling them that I don't want to go back to Ghana, because if I go to Ghana, they're gonna imprison me. So I have escaped from them, and I went to Nigeria, and I stayed in Nigeria for almost 2 years. And as I was in Nigeria, I started going to all these places, and spiritually, Nigeria, they're strong though. They are strong. And I went to these places, and they would be invoking the name of God. Then one time, these people took me to a sea, and I didn't know it was Mamiwata. And I know that all the Africans there, they know when I'm saying Mamiwata. I don't think Americans know. we call it air. We think it's a good thing. We were ignorant of things like that. We think that mom, because it's a mermaid, and it's something good. But actually, it's an evil spirit of the sea. Because when Satan was kicked out of heaven, a third of the angels fell down with him. And some of them fell in the sea. Some of them fell in the land. And some of them are hanging in the air. That's where the second heavens is. And you see, you know, like when you go into these shrines and these different gods, and you think that they are good, but they are all fallen angels. Fallen angels that have fell down with Satan. And people, they think it's a good thing. They are being misled. And you know what makes them be misled? Because sometimes these angels, the judgments that they make, you see, sometimes they like righteousness. If I do that, you know, and they call their God, the God can deal with me because I did that. So because of that thing, they think that these things are good. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like an evil manipulation. And you see, they dedicate their children a lot of times, even if some of them they're Christians. But, you know, because of that, some of them are Christians, but they mix the Christianity with tradition. And maybe your child is born and you want to do naming ceremonies. And some of the things that the rituals and things that have been performed are invoking other spirits into the child. And that spirit, that thing that they're invoking into the child, they call it protection. But what about the blood of Jesus? Do you understand? Yeah. You know, they forget. They place the child in the hand of God. But, you know, the thing is, it's a thing of fear. Because, you see, witches, when they see the glory of God on your child, they tend to want to, they will disturb that child. They will even kill that child. And so they initiate their children sometimes into the satanic kingdom so they can live. The witches won't disturb them. You understand? And I found myself, let me get back to it. I found myself going to this Mommy Want That Thing. And all of a sudden, I started dreaming about the sea. I would dream every day about the sea. So I started telling my husband, I'm dreaming about the sea. And then, you know, I knew that it was something that wasn't correct. And then when I was sentenced to prison, things started being more revealed to me. They were trying to, because I went to the devil. I went to Mommy Water looking for help. Whether they helped me or they didn't help me, I went to them. Do you understand? Whether it worked or work, I went to them asking for their help. Do you understand? Out of ignorance. That's why I understand when the Bible says, lack of knowledge, my people perish. I found myself going through so many things, and they'll be asking you to bring goat, bring sheep, bring $500. I knew that some of these things wasn't good, because I remember I went to this thing, you know, I went to what they call melon, and melon is like when we go to pastors. We go to pastors looking for help. When this is the Muslims, they go to what they call it's like their pastor, melons. And I went to one time looking for help. I'm looking for help in the wrong places because of my ignorance. And this day he took a piece of paper. He told me to go and come. I go, I come back. He took a piece of paper. He put the paper over, he turned on the stove. And he put the paper over the stove, and all of a sudden, letters appeared on the paper. And I was like, I was amazed, but at the same time, I wasn't trusting. I didn't trust anybody. So I looked at the paper. The paper, I said, wait a minute, what is this? How does Spirit go spend $500? What do you want five? What Spirit going to ask for $500? And now on top of that, what Spirit is going to spell my name wrong? Spirit, they don't make mistakes, so they don't make mistakes. And what are you going to do with $500? Hey, but that day, what is he going to do with the money? I'll ask questions. What is the Spirit going to do with the money? Why did he spell my name wrong? If this all is true? So, you know, I went through so much as an African American going through Africa, nations, countries, running, trying to survive.
Yeah.
You know, looking for help in the wrong places, and also watching the hand of God in my life. You know, and some of these people that I will go to, they will be honest with me, and they will say that, oh, you don't need anything. God is with you. And when they tell me that, you know, they consider me as a white woman. When you go to Africa, no matter how black you are, if you are from America or London, any white nation, they're going to say you are a white woman because your spirit, your thinking, your thoughts, everything is white. They don't see you. Yes. They don't see you as a black. So when they will tell me that I don't need anything, I will say, oh, is it because you say that I'm a white woman? I'm trying to force the devil to give me some devil. I'm trying to force the devil to give me devil.
My God.
But I thank God. You know, I look at all of this experience, and the Lord still had his hand on me. You understand? I didn't contradict evil covenants. That I was going throughout Africa looking for help in the wrong places. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my eyes only became more open to my calling, more open to who I am. And I thank him for that. And I thank him for my experience. I thank him for revealing to me the difference because, you know, the manipulation of the devil. Because it's true when the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, it is true. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But when he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he do it in his spiritual. In a spiritual realm. He steal your glory. He steal your blessing. Do you understand? He steal your marriage. He steal your children. You understand? He kill your children. You know? I was a drug dealer. I dealt drugs. I used drugs for many years. And this thing is what led me to go through what I went through. And it's people like us that God used. God didn't come for the righteous. He come for the sinners. And, you know, I'm a sinner. And I know I've been bought by the blood of Jesus, but I still have some character defects I see in me, you know, because of the lifestyle that I've lived for so many years. You know, some things are still there. I'm working on it day after day. The Lord is studying, giving me divine revelations. I'm glad of who I am today, and I'm glad, and I thank God for what I've passed through, because he said in every situation you give thanks, whether good or bad,
thanks.
And I thank him, you know. I give him all the glory, you know, because who I am today, you know, I know that I've been brought out of darkness, You know, I served Satan in many ways. I was a blind devil. You know, you have blind devils. You don't see that you are a devil, but you are doing devil work. Devil is using you. And you may not know that the devil is using you. You see, when you people that sell drugs and don't use drugs, you see, you are an agent of darkness. Because when the person who's using the drug use it, it brings on demonic spirits in them. You understand? You know, so
that's
if another spirit enters them and takes over them, and that person is at that time becomes in the kingdom of darkness, because everything that they will do will be a sin. You will steal, you will destroy, you won't do any good thing, because now you are being controlled by that drug. You understand? But the one who's selling it is even worse, because the one who's selling it is blind. They don't know what they are doing. And when they say money is the root of all evil, that's all it is about. It is about the money. You know, but the damage that you are doing and the way that the devil is using you, you won't see it. You know?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you even see yourself better than everybody else. And you won't even see yourself. You know, one thing I used to hear people say sometimes in Africa, and I used to hate this thing, you are not my class. You are not my class. So they're different classes. So what if you go to hell? You go down to your class in hell. Let me go to heaven.
I know that's right.
You know, so the thing is that the people really need to know that there is a battle for your life. There's a battle. We have the power. We have the power, and God has given us the power of choice. And there is a battle for your destiny. You see, some people, they really don't believe in destiny changing. But your destiny can really be changed. It can be diverted. It can be delayed.
Yeah.
And they say that delay is not denial. But what you don't understand is that sometimes delay can be denial, because it can be delayed until you die. And you'll still be delayed. That spirit of delayance will still be there. You see? So it's a battle for your destiny. It's a battle for your children's destiny. The devil don't come after empty things. He come after those that have great destinies. Glory. Financial wealth. Sometimes when I go throughout Africa, God will be revealing to me great people. You see them great. You see that God has made them great, and the devils are destroying them, and they don't have the understanding. Some people don't have that understanding. You see, the devil has destroyed their destiny. There's always a wicked witch in the family that will destroy the person, but the person is great. I see so much of it, so much of the thing, and it used to hurt me. I used to get on the cho-cho. At church, I'll just get on the bus. And when I'm sitting there, I will look around, and all these, and God will be talking to me, and I will be seeing these people are great. Great people. Prosperous people. They're not even supposed to be on no church. But because of wickedness within the family, wickedness from ancestral gods are bringing destruction in their lives. You see, sometimes the Christians, you say you're a Christian and that your family don't worship idols. Maybe your family not worshiping them idols. Maybe they have thrown those idols away. But the spirit will still be disturbing the family.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that the people really don't understand. They would think that because you have thrown the idols away, because your mother was a Christian, so your grandparents, they were Christians, so you are a Christian, and they're not disturbing. They would still be disturbing your family until somebody stand up and destroy those altars in that blood. You'll be wondering why these things is happening to us and our family. Because their foundation has not been destroyed. The foundation of the wicked has not been
That's
destroyed.
Right.
So when somebody has to stand up, and see, the thing is, soon as you stand up, you go through a big attack, though. Huh? And that's the thing that scares people. Because as soon as they start getting attacked, they stop. They don't want to pray about the thing no more. They become scared. They don't want to face the problems. They don't want to face what is good as it comes their way. You understand? So they back down. But if somebody's, if you have faith in the Lord, when your faith is strong, you know that no matter what, I win this battle. You know that you're going to go through something. Yes, sacrifice it and go through it. But in the end, you will be victorious. You understand? Now, that's the way I feel. The devil wanted to destroy my great destiny because of greatness. Huh? Because the Lord has called me. That's what makes me. So when the devil is coming, if the devil stopped coming after me, even I think something's wrong. Maybe I'm on the wrong track because the devil ain't coming after me no more. But he will come. He will come.
Yeah.
I expect for him to come, and I invite him to come if he wants to come. Because me, I know the God I'm serving, and when he comes, I don't have a problem with Holy Ghost fire. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. That is the weapon that I want to have. You know?
That's right.
So I'm proud to be who I am today. I'm proud of what the Lord has revealed to me today. So, my testimony of my going through all these 50 priests and God revealed to me, I've seen people take me to juju to try to do me bad, you know, and God will reveal it. Mm-hmm. I see myself sometimes in a dream, and I see the juju man standing there doing his chanting. And I just start calling, Holy Ghost fire! And the whole room will start catching fire. The whole room will start catching fire. You know?
Mm.
And I think the Lord, and I know that it's by his grace, the average person knows that me going to prison in Africa and making it back alive is a miracle. Because if you tell somebody who's from there that, oh, this American is in prison there, they will never tell you that I can make it back alive.
Mm.
You understand? Yes, but I made it back because of the grace of God in my life, because of his purpose for my life, because he has called me out of the darkness. And see, I was in a place where I had a choice. I could have chose to go with the devil. I can choose to go with God. But if I choose to go with God, the battle is going to be strong because I was in his kingdom. I was with his children. You understand? And they will not spare me. And I was willing to die for it. Because I used to even tell you people have to kill me. Hmm? And I know that the Lord didn't bring me there to die. So I stood strong. Huh? I rebuked them. I remember times that would call my spirit out of my body. They called my spirit out. I saw myself laying on the bed, dead. And when I looked at myself, I said, my body. And I looked at the room, and I could see everything in the room, in the spiritual, but I'm out of my body. And I touched my body, and I see that I was hard. And I said, oh, God. I'm dead. Let me get myself back inside my body. And I got myself inside my body, and I woke up. You understand? So but when I woke up, that day, matter of fact, for that few days, I just stayed in fasting and prayer because I couldn't believe I was almost dead. If I had walked away, I would have died.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah, I would have died. But God spared me. God revealed to me the works of the devil. God revealed to me that he has given me power over that. And I thank him. I thank him for that. I thank him for everything I've passed through. That's why I say God is great. And who can be compared to him? You know?
That's right.
Yeah, I'm a living testimony of it. You know? And I firmly believe. I have trust. I trust in everything that he has promised me. I trust. I believe in him. My faith, it don't shake. And I know that my faith kept me too. So in any situation, whatever you are going through, have you your faith. You can't shake your faith. You can't say that, oh, God, I will worship you today, but if you don't do this to me, I won't worship you again. See, when you think about what Jesus passed through, who are we? You know, we are sinners. This man never sinned. Mm-hmm. And yet, he was still hung up on the cross. He still sacrificed himself for us. So we are sinners, and we will still go to God and tell God, if you don't do this for me, I won't do this for you. I won't serve you again. Who are you hurting?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really God? Is it God? Because if you don't serve him, somebody will. You see? So, you know, the thing is, our victory is in the blood. Our victory is in the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's where our victory is. And I stood on it. I continue to stand on it. And I know that now I've been out of prison. I've been out of prison now about 3 months. I've been home for about 3 weeks, you know. And I'm ready for whatever the Lord has for me, you know. I'm ready to do what it is he has called me out of darkness to do, you know. And I know that, yes, the devil going to come. He's going to come. He's going to continue to come. He will never stop, you know. But that's why the Bible says you put on the full armor of God. And I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on the sword of the Spirit. I put on what the Lord has told me to put on. You know? And I'm just ready to do the Lord's will. I'm happy. I'm happy about everything today. And I thank him.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is really powerful. You know, that lets you know that God really had his hands up on you, because a lot of people could not have laughed like that.
Mm.
You know, and it takes prayer.
Yeah, prayer. Prayer is the key. Do you know that's one thing that the devil? The devil, prayer and fasting. You know, the devil targets your prayer. When you see that you can't pray, that means that he has hindered your prayer. Sometimes you will see all of a sudden, you just can't pray. That's your power. If he take your power from you, your prayer life from you, he has taken your power. What power do you have if you can't open your mouth and pray to him? You don't have nothing. He can do away whatever he wants to do with you.
Yeah.
You understand me? Your prayer
mm-hmm.
is your everything. It's not going to the pastors or going looking for some man of God or woman of God to help you. It's your own mouth, your own tongue, your own faith, your own doings in this life that is going to save you. Not the man of God. He can't save you, because maybe he can't even save himself. Because you know what we do? We have our own secret sins. And that's another thing that we do. We sit and choose and pick which sins we're going to commit. One says, yes, I'm a prostitute. The other one says, I'm a prostitute, but I can't steal. Sin is sin.
That's true.
It all leads you to hell. What we need to do is stop picking and choosing our sins. Men, women of God, we all do, one way or another. And we would think that we are better than the other when we are all sinning. Maybe you gossip. Maybe the other one don't gossip. Maybe the other one is doing another thing.
That's
sin
right.
And sin.
That's
it
right.
All leads to hell.
That's true.
If you're going to be righteous, righteousness is a gift from God. Even the Bible says, man is righteous, but there is some that is righteous. Sometimes when they say that, I hate that thing, because when you say that just man is righteous, and when you say that God is a liar, there is some that is righteous, but it's a gift from God. It's because everything that they do, their intentions, their thoughts, they try to do right in the eyes of God. And you make a lot of enemies, but it's okay. It's okay. If you try to be righteous, they'll start calling you self-righteous. You think you're better. You know what I'm saying? Let them say what they want to say. But as long as you know that you are being righteous in the eyes of God, prayer. That's why the Bible said pray without ceasing. Because even when you stop praying, even if you miss a day of prayer, that day can have a big impact on your life. One day. First thing you get up in the morning is to give God thanks. That's the first thing we support. And here in Africa, they do that thing. That's one thing I love about them. When they get up, they pray. They get up.
That's
they
right.
give God that. But we don't have that thing here. You know?
No, you're right about that.
We don't have it here. And when they get up, and they always try to teach their children. You see, in Ghana, they got a thing called the pulpit for kids. The kids, the way the kids can teach the word of God is so impressive. The way the kids can know the word of God.
Yeah.
But we don't have that thing here because you know why? We take God for granted because we don't face the battles that they face.
That's true.
You understand? You know, we are ignorant at sometimes. You know?
That's right.
Some houses you can go to here, there's not a Bible. You know? There's not a Bible in the house. You know, and sometimes some people, they don't even understand that there are different versions of the Bible. I've went through some experiences here, and people need to be told the truth. And the truth is that, you know, there's a battle for your life.
That's true.
It's a battle. You know, whatever God has said concerning your life before the foundation of the earth, you have to take it and take it by force of fire. It's not going to be given to you on a golden platter. And just because you're a child of God does not make you obsolete from the battle of the devil. You know,
that's
another thing. Yeah, they have a thing of saying, me, I'm a child of God. I ain't worried about it. Then nobody got it. You know, you are a child of God, yes. So be aware the error is going to come your way. If you are a true child of God, error is going to come. Only true children of God, error is going to come. If something good is about to happen in your life, error is going to come.
That's right.
But he always reveals to redeem. So,
That is right.
Yes, he reveals to redeem. He will always reveal it to you. You know, I love Africa for what I've learned from them. I love them for the good, even the bad. The bad thing have strengthened me and made me strong. You know, and some of my spiritual fathers, you know, they call me every day to make sure that are you doing the right thing? They're from Ghana, you know?
Yeah.
And Ghana is going to always be a part of my life. I'll go there forever and ever until the day I die. Africa is going to be always part of my life.
That's
I love them. I love what they've done for me. I love even the evil thing that I've seen and I've learned, but what it has done for me, the impact that it has.
Okay, I see we lost her. I think the phone went out. We're going to see if she's going to call back in. But I'm telling y'all, that's powerful, powerful testimony. My God, that's how, can't nobody sit here and say God ain't real. Can't nobody say he's not real because there's no way that woman, man, boy, girl could have kept her those years like that in Africa. I'm serious. And wherever, you couldn't have landed in Mexico, whatever, you know, God has done it. I'm telling you, like I said, her phone, I believe, went out. She might be calling in from another phone, but what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play something right quick. And when I see her come back on, then I will click on. So we'll be right back.
May the Spirit of God lift up your spirit.
All right, we got her back on. We got her back on. Yes, hello?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
The phone had went out. You know what I'm going to do right quick? Get you some water or something right quick. We're going to take a 6-minute break is what we're going to do. And we're going to take a 6-minute break. I'm going to play something right quick. And as soon as it's done, I'm going to click you back on because we got like 14 minutes left. So I'm going to let you end it off with prayer. Praying for those that have went through, that's going through, we're going to let you end off with prayer. But what I'm going to do is play something. I'm going to put you on pause.
Okay.
And then I'm going to come right back to you.
Okay.
All right. So what we're going to do, you all, we're going to hear Bishop Kibiatu in the Be Not Afraid prayer, and then we're going to go straight to the song Be Not Afraid by Brother Paul Avery. And right after that, we're going to go ahead and bring our cousin back on. All right.
May the Spirit of God lift up your spirit. May your spirit be pregnant with boldness, with courage, with strength, with power. May your enemies be afraid of you. May you intimidate the intimidator. May you threaten the threatener. May you have victory and dominion over every power of fear. From today, we break the shackles of fear. We declare that you will attempt new things. We declare that you will do the impossible. We declare that you will be a sign, a wonder, a miracle, a testament, a testimony. You will not be afraid anymore. In the name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of fear. Root that in guilt. Root that in shame. Root that in sin. Root that in failure. Root that in your past. We call on you.
Y'all, you heard it. Be not afraid. Only trust in the Lord, I'm telling you. And I thank God for my cousin that she was not afraid, but that she trusted in God. I'm telling you, that's an awesome song by Paul Avery. And the prayer, the short prayer that you heard was Bishop Kibiatu. And I'm telling you, I thought we were going to have a call from our brother. I don't know what happened. We have 5 minutes left. But he was going to call in Pastor Levi because he was one of the ones that, also prayed and said that God was bringing her out. And so he was going to call in and say a word of prayer with her. But I don't know what happened. So we're going to click her on and just let her, unless he calls in, then we'll click him on too. But right now we have 5 minutes left. Okay. We're back, cousin. As you heard me say, there's a man of God. Remember, I tried to call him when you were over to the house, but I didn't get a chance to get through. And so I just messaged him, and he was supposed to have called in. So I don't know what happened. But we're going to go ahead and let you just have the last couple of words and just say a short prayer. Because like I said, we're down to 4 minutes. And then if something happens to where he called in, then I will go ahead and click him on.
Okay. I'm just going to say the short prayer, and I pray that this testimony touched somebody's heart and changed somebody's life. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, soak our bodies, our souls, and our spirits in that blood of Jesus. Lord, we're calling upon you, Heavenly Father, open heavens, Lord, to send down your blessings, Heavenly Father, Lord, that let this testimony, Almighty God, to begin to change somebody's life, Heavenly Father. Lord, you know we can do nothing without you, but your word says with you all things are possible. Lord, any demonic attack that is coming from the air, the land, the sea, the sun, the moon, the stars, from any of these listeners' life, Lord, we command your fire, Almighty God, to scatter it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Open up the doors, Heavenly Father, Lord. Every gate that is shut in their lives, Lord, bless them, Lord. Let your glory, Heavenly Father, begin to direct them, Lord. Let your glory come upon their lives, Heavenly Father. Open up their spiritual ears, their spiritual eyes, Lord, and let them begin to see you. Let them begin to hear your voice, Heavenly Father. Direct their steps, Heavenly Father. We give you the praise. We give you the adoration because we know who you are, Heavenly Father. We glorify your name and we thank you in every situation, Lord. Everything that we're going through, Lord, we give you thanks. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hello?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
I'm here.
Okay.
Amen. I guess he's going to try to call in now. He just messaged me. So before we go off in these last 3 minutes, like I said, it's been awesome listening to your testimony. I was really, 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 I know when you came over here and we all were together, I didn't really get to the depth of it until now. And I'm telling you, all I have to say is it's nobody but God that has done this. Nobody but God. And I just thank him and I just praise him and give him all the glory and the honor for what he has done in your life. And you know, we know that in him there is no mistake. And like you said, sometimes we do things, sometimes things happen for a reason. We don't understand. And how can we be a testimony if we don't go through something?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You got to go through something to be able to say, I know for a known fact, you know, my grandma couldn't do this or my mom and dad could, but I know for a known fact that God is real, you know.
Yes.
And I just thank him. I just thank him for that. So if our brother don't make it on in time to call in, what I could do is I can call you and have him on the three-way and he can say a word of prayer if we have to do it like that because we're down to 1 minute. And after so many minutes, it will not let you call in.
Okay. I just want to say I thank everybody that have prayed for me. I thank you. May God bless you and give you all your heart desire, because I know it also was your prayers that kept me too. It wasn't just my own. So I want you to know that I thank you. I thank you and bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, cousin, I'm going to give you a call back in a couple of minutes with him on. So be by the phone, and we're going to go ahead and end it off in this last couple of seconds or whatever in the song. But I just want to let you know I'm so happy. I look forward to you being on with us again and, you know, in fellowship and prayer. And just to let you know that I love you much, and I'm just so glad that you are home.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Now, we got him on the line now. He just called in. So let me click him on right quick before we go off. Hey, you made it just in time.
Hello, hi, good morning.
Hi.
Yes, you made it just
in
time. We got a couple of minutes left, and in a couple of minutes then, instead of doing the song, I'm glad you called in, because I told her about you, and I told her that, you know, you were one of the ones that have prayed, you know, for her. I remember when we were talking before and you were saying she's going to come out. Oh, she's coming out. And, you know, and I told you she was there in Ghana. And so we thank God that it was nothing but God that kept her and brought her out. And so what I wanted you to do, brother, is just, you know, say a word of prayer for her and whatever God gives you to say to her. Before we go off this air in a couple of minutes.
Wow, we just bless God. Thank you so much, my sister. I appreciate your what you're doing, and may God crown you with more grace and strength.
Amen.
And I just want to bless God for today. I just want to bless God for this great woman and for what God has done. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 28, and it says that for all things work together for good, to them that
love
the Lord, and
to
them who are called according to his purpose. And so to him he predestined, then he glorified, to him he glorified, then he justified them to be conformed to his image and his son. And we know that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And it says, shall tribulations, shall distress, shall nakedness, or peril, or sword, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And we believe so strongly that that's what God has done in our sister's life. And I just want to lift up a prayer for her right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory. I give you thanks for who you are. I micrograph your holy name. And I say that there is none to be compared to you. There is none to be compared to you. Father, I stand in your grace and in your holy place. And I release that may heavens be opened right now. And may they respond to the victory and the celebration of the release of your daughter. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the devil has lost the battle. That what he thought was going to destroy her and actually to malign her and relegate her and reduce her to the background, it has rather become that miracle and blessing to the world. I declare in the name of Jesus, the devil, you have lost the battle. You have no power over her anymore. Every chains are broken. That this was not a set up to stress her. It was a set up to raise her. And we thank you, O God, for using this to raise her out of every plan and changing the course of her family. Thank you that this one will become one of the testimonies that will fly around the nations of the world and impact people and bring people out of the dungeon, bring people out of prison, and those people will come and follow suit to what she is doing. thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you have done. I bless your holy name for what you can do, that what you do, no man can do it. Thank you for opening this door. Thank you for opening this door, that when you open the door, no man can close it. When you close doors, no man can open it. And today you have opened this door. Within this few days, you have opened the door for our dear daughter. We thank you, oh God, that in this moment, oh God, every temptation, every assignment of the enemy, every wrong voices that will speak to her, we come against it in Jesus' name. And we declare that her experience will cause a turnaround in this nation. We declare that her experience will cause around, will turn around people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for that book. Thank you for that book that she's going to write. Thank you for that tape. Thank you for that CD that she's going to do. That as she shares her story, Father, lives will be transformed. Many shall come to your saving knowledge. Thank you that out of this one, a history will be set in America and around the nations of the world. Thank you for what you have started doing in her life. May it be permanent and may it never be temporal. In the name of Jesus, we declare that the heavens are open in the name of Jesus. And what you have said concerning her life will come to pass. Nothing will stop it. You told Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I knew what you will become. Before you were clot of blood in your mother's womb, the Lord knew you and knew what will happen.
Yes.
And I see the Lord changing this day. I see the Lord changing this testimony. I see the Lord making you a signpost, a signboard. Many will look at you and would want to be like you. In the name of Jesus, out of you, lives will be transformed. Young ladies, women in America shall receive grace to thrive on. In the name of Jesus, you will become a sign of hope. You will become an ear to people's ear. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You become an eye to people's eye in the name of Jesus. Because I see you about to start a life that will transform many lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just as God never made a mistake to have allowed Jesus to come through Mary, I declare that it will not be a mistake for you to have been in that prison. I declare that out of you, there shall be unusual miracles and testimonies in this land and around the nations of the world. May your faith never run dry. May your hope never be hopeless. May you receive constant grace and strength in your spirit. Receive spiritual muscles in the name of Jesus. That which you cannot fight with in the physical, you shall receive strength in the name of Jesus. Walk in the power of God. Walk in the power of his might. May the Lord touch every part of you. And may your body, may your spirit, may your system be infused with the power of the Holy Ghost. And may you exhibit his power and his glory and his salvation and his miracles and his signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare it is done. Amen.
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 Now, I want to say this quickly, Evangelist Tonya.
Yes.
You know my father has been in prison ministry for 38 years in Ghana.
Okay.
And as I'm speaking to you now, he's right now in Canada. He arrived a few days ago because my father has had a passion for prison ministry. If you know our brother Jima, our brother Jima was before he got into the prison in Ghana, he was an interpreter for my father.
Okay.
Yeah, he was an interpreter for my father. My father has been to all the prisons in Ghana, and he's been doing this voluntarily for 38 years.
Amen.
And so I know what it means to be in prison in Ghana. It's no joke. It's not like prison in America.
Yes.
It is intense. It is more than you can imagine.
Yes.
And
yes.
It, it takes a lot of grace to go there and survive.
Yes, yes.
Yes. It takes a lot of grace. So I know what my sister has been through, because we used to go to the prison. We go worshiping to the word and the power of God. And I'm telling you, if you see how people in prison praise, you will be amazed. But there are a lot of people who are free that can even praise like the way they praise.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the fact that they are praising does not mean they are totally destroyed, because guess what? If you give them just a little bar of soap, they will thank you for the rest of their lives.
Yes, yes, yes.
And believe me, seriously, and I know what it means for our sister to have been there. And I know that God, I'm telling you, to come out of the prison in Ghana, it is an unusual, divine, orchestrated miracle.
Yes, yes.
It is no joke, and I can tell, I know what it is. But believe me, when you're in prison in Ghana and you build up spiritually, you are gone for the rest of your life. You are going to touch lives. And so I believe so strongly what God has done, that it was because it was to bring about God's divine purpose for her life and for the sake of a lot of people in America and across the nations of the world.
Yes.
And so I know what it is, and we bless God, and I know that God is going to use her mightily, because I see her writing this book.
Yes.
I see her writing a book. I see her doing the CDs. I see a lot of people grabbing her materials, because she's going to bring hope. She's going to bring hope.
Yeah.
And I see her also stepping into the prisons of parts of the world and in America. And in many ways, God is going to use her and go back to Ghana and around the nations of the world to tell his testimony. And I see God bringing her to another level, building her spiritually strongly, that she would never be shaken or moved.
Yes.
And I pray that this relationship with God and this grace will stand, and there's a strong prophetic oil upon her life, too. God's going to use her mightily. God's going to use her mightily. God's going to use her mightily.
Amen.
Seriously.
Amen.
And I thank God. I thank God for what he has done.
Amen.
I thank God for what he has done. I see you also on a screen. You're speaking. You're talking. You're sharing your testimony on a screen on TV. I don't know, whatever, but I see you on a screen, the people watching you, and people's lives are being transformed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And so get ready, and never lose hope, and keep stirring up your spirit in the presence of God, because God is going to, you have a great assignment.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Well, I thank God for you, brother, for calling in and, you know, praying for and everything. I tried to call you when she came over. But I couldn't get through at that time, and I told her, I said, well, we're gonna connect her somehow. But I let her know that you were also one of the also Apostle Samuel, a soul was another one that prayed, and I said I was gonna leave word with him and let him know that she is home. But he was one of the other ones that also called in and have prayed and said that she was coming out. She was not gonna stay up in there.
Amen. Mm. Amen. Mm. Amen. I thank you for everything. I thank you for such a powerful prayer. I thank you.
You're welcome, my dear. We will talk, and then we'll see what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is saying. But
Amen.
I want to say this, Evangelist Tonya, quickly. Can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we need to pray for Florida.
Okay.
As I was bringing up, we need to pray for Florida, and we need to pray for Maryland. We need to pray. There are a couple of states. But we need to pray for the states in America. A couple of states in America.
I don't.
What I'm seeing is not something too good, and we need to pray for the states. A couple of states in America.
Oh wow.
And then we have to pray for mothers in America too.
Okay.
We pray for mothers. I think has to be to intercede for them. And I know that as I'm speaking about it, God will gives us grace.
Yes.
And we'll start delivering. Yeah. I see the mothers need a lot of grace and a lot of deliverance, so that the children, they have they have released and given birth to will bring them joy and not destruction.
Amen.
And we need to pray for love, because I see a lot of mothers giving up in America. They're giving up and they're deciding to call it off for their lives. But we declare that that thing, that spirit, that thought will be stricken by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we declare that what would have been a dangerous thing for the states in America to the Lord will loosen it, and then the impact will be reduced.
Amen.
And
yes.
any assignment of the enemy we bind it in Jesus' name.
Bind it in Jesus'
yeah.
name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's
okay. We'll do. We'll do.
Yes,
we'll do.
Sure will.
Yeah.
Thank
that's
you.
That's right.
Thank you.
And
thank
so
you.
what I'm going to do too, brother, I'll call you in a little while to set up a date for you to come on too as well. I want to get something going here, but I know we're going to have to bring that revival back. It's time for that. You know, it's
yes.
nothing wrong with playing music, but like I told the people yesterday on the air, that the word has to continue to go on as well as prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's that time, because so many Christians are going through so much that, you know, they're allowing the enemy to take their minds and take their focus off of God, and that's not good. So it's time to pray against that spirit that is driving people away from God, even leaders. You have ministers, pastors that are saying, I'm going through too much, I can't take it no more, I'm walking away from the church, you know. And so I have an uncle that, you know, was a pastor of a huge church in South Carolina, and he is one of the ones I've been seeing ever since I was little. You know, he was this great a man of God, and I don't know what happened. It's just something happened, and now he has lost more than one church, his home, his marriage, you know, and now he's living with another woman, and, you know, still not divorced, because they've been separated for years and years, but he's living with another woman and still call himself preaching. And, you know, I'm not under, you know, it's something, but we need to pray, because it's like a lot of people are falling off seriously, and this is not the time to fall off.
Amen. Yes.
This is not the time to fall off. So we definitely have to pray, because I'm seeing a lot of people that have been going under attack, you know, and it's just something. You know, and it's heartbreaking when you see that people speaking the Lord's word for years and praying and all of that, and then as soon as something comes about, people are talking about leaving God and don't want to be doing his will anymore, and, you know, it's just something. So we definitely need to keep.
It's like people are losing faith.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, it's the faith. So, you know, faith is a gift. So, yeah, we have to pray for people's faith to be strengthened. And, you know, since I've come home, the thing that I've seen we really need to pray is homosexuality.
Oh, yeah.
It's taking over the world.
Yeah,
that,
it's
the homosexuality is taking over. That spirit is taking over. And that thing, they don't understand that it's a spirit.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know that it's a spirit, and that spirit has been distributed all over the world, totally.
Yeah.
So we really need to get together and pray against that, because
Sodom
and Gomorrah, every place is turning into Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
we really need to pray against that spirit.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, that's true. That is so true. What you're saying. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thank God I'm going to go ahead and go off of here before it boot us off here, because it's just flashed again. But I want to have you back on again, Tony and brother. I want to have you back on too. So that's why I said in a few minutes I'll just call you back and we get the date together, and then I'll call back over there too, Tony.
Okay. So I'll talk to you later.
All right, God bless y'all.
God bless
okay.
you and God bless everybody.
Henry, God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
All right.